This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Lay it on with a trowel, why don't you?
Yeah, go for it.
I'm actually, having been on the Superior show, the Scoff and Quaff show, 11 to 12, we're quite stuffed, actually, aren't we?
You talk for yourself.
Little Pavlova.
If you're listening, Amanda, I didn't touch a thing.
Little Pavlova.
I didn't touch a thing.
Light as a feather, that, though. I mean, that's just air, really, isn't it?
I have got a Pavlova to take home, though.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Two.
Yeah. How many have you got?
Two.
How many will be there when you get home?
Two.
Sure. Because you've got to put all the shows up and do a bit of techie stuff.
No, but I lied about how many I've got now.
You see,
she'll never know.
That's good.
She's listening.
I had pear and almond tart.
Did you?
With a custard creme.
Was it nice?
Well, that was a frangipan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's my one weakness, actually, a frangipan.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it really?
I never knew what it was till I did Scotland.
I thought it was a flower.
Yeah, no, it can be, I think.
Yeah.
Frangipan, sort of an almondy custardy thing.
Right.
But that was delicious.
Did you have one of the little mini mince pies?
Of course. I had two, and I've got some for the journey home.
Did you?
If the new husband's listening, there may be one.
Right.
But you can listen back to that Scoff Quaff on channelradio.co.uk. Just go on the listen again, Scoff and Quaff.
And look for Scoff and Quaff, and it'll be there.
And I've got a question for you, Paul Andrews.
Yeah, go on.
Who might our sponsor be today?
Right, our sponsor this week, and we're very pleased to partner with them on the Business Bunker Show, is Centerton Chamber of Commerce.
Mm.
They're supporting local businesses, High Street, and very involved in Shop Local. They also have a Centerton card, which is an initiative to help High Street and local businesses by encouraging local shopping. And literally yesterday, they put out by email and on their website a list of all the current offers coming up over the Christmas period.
It's a great thing to have, and supporting your High Street. And I was talking to Shaw at Whitstable, who, as you may remember, came on the show on Business Bank a couple of weeks back, who opened his business 3 weeks before the lockdown came. And it's a lovely shop in Whitstable High Street. And he said the day after lockdown ended, so this Thursday, was quite busy, but then he said it went quite quiet. And I think the sad thing is that because of lockdown, a lot of people have shopped online already, getting organised for Christmas.
Yep.
There's been a whole panic about whether deliveries will come in time, so people have done their shopping really early.
Yeah.
And that is a real shame. So please get out and shop local, and go to your butcher and your baker and all of those shops.
Talking about shopping local, I'm going to read this. It's a bit long, but worth it, okay?
All right. Well, all long things are always worth it.
Don't start that. There's no denying that 2020 will be remembered for all the wrong reasons. Indeed, like many others, I've fallen foul of the COVID-19 pandemic as I lost my job as an airline pilot overnight. I suddenly had a lot of spare time, which allowed me to consider other opportunities. Over the course of this year, demand for deliveries of any nature has soared, often with demand outstripping supply. Before 2020, I'd never been a user of online grocery delivery services. But as the country braced for a bumpy road ahead, I turned to supermarket delivery, only to be extremely frustrated. The earliest delivery slots that supermarket could offer were often weeks in the future. This wasn't going to work with hungry mouths to feed at home. Discussing this frustration with friends and family, I realised that this was a common issue for a lot of people. So I joined forces with fellow airline pilot friend, and Clicky was born.
Great name.
Yeah. The business focus...
Is he going to go around in a jet?
Yeah. They're going to strafe you if you don't use their services. The business focus is to provide an alternative solution to the traditional supermarket delivery in order to get your groceries delivered directly to your front door. The concept is simple. The customer books a more readily available click and collect slot. And for a small fixed fee, we collect the shopping and deliver it to you. Hence our slogan, you click, we collect. Being resident in Tunbridge Wells, it was the obvious choice when deciding where to commence operations. And whilst we're planning expansion in the future, we want to focus on providing the residents of Tunbridge Wells area and the surrounding areas with excellent customer service and help ensure people's fridges are kept stocked up. So that's clicky.co.uk. You can go to the website, which is Clicky, K-L-I-C-K-I.co.uk. One of the things that Clicky are also doing is working on behalf of local shops and suppliers. So if you have a small independent shop where you couldn't really afford to operate your own delivery service, then they will do it for you.
That's great. And I sent that to, I think Olives Are Good For You, one of my, because I've been getting deliveries from them, really lovely Greek olives. And yeah. You can find them, Olives Are Good For, number four, you. And of course, their main business was always at the farmers markets, which the government decided to close for some reason, even though they're open air and you can, you know, socially distance. But they said it was Tunbridge Wells only. So,
well, at the moment it is, you know. But
so they'll grow.
It's a newly launched business, and as I just read, they're based in Tunbridge Wells. So at the moment, they're making contacts with shops and things in Tunbridge Wells.
Yeah,
it will grow eventually.
Of course.
And the more shops that use their service, the more they will grow the service.
Yeah.
And what I would imagine, and what I would recommend if they asked me, is to grow out concentrically.
Mm.
So grow out from Tunbridge Wells. You know, next stop Sevenoaks and Maidstone, next stop Medway, you know, and then next stop Essex, and, you know, do you see what I'm saying?
Well, so I've had another brainwave on that, Paul.
God.
It's a really good idea. So, you know, our guest in the studio, Oliver Tuffney?
Yeah.
Well, you know he's a driving instructor.
No, he's not.
What is he then?
He's got a website that compares driving instructors.
Okay, but he is a driving instructor as well. He must be.
No,
oh, he's not. Okay.
No.
So, well, anyway, he knows lots of driving instructors on his website.
He does.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what I'm thinking is, while they're giving driving lessons, they could also pick up shopping.
Because
you've got to stop, you start, you parallel park. What do you think, Oliver?
Fantastic idea.
There we are.
Yeah,
you heard it from me.
In front of our nose the whole time.
Yeah. You know, I'm shocked you're not a driving instructor as well.
My brother was.
The trouble is now, Ollie, forevermore you will be a driving instructor. Because she's decided you should be a driving instructor, so that's it.
Well, in order to do the ratedrivinginstructor.com, he's got to have friends in high places and know about driving anyway. But where I live on the seafront, which is in Tankerton, Whitstable, our house looks onto a road that everybody comes and parks in to go to the beach and everything. Even now it's heaving.
I bet it is.
And we have great fun because we've got an upside down house. So we sit there with our coffee watching people try and parallel park and we just roar with laughter. Some people do it, you know, have 11 goes, 11 or 12 goes. They go in and out and in and they come in at the wrong angle, go up on the path. And it's like our main entertainment, actually, of coffee morning hour, you know.
Absolutely.
And then
we'll talk about that when we talk to Ollie about driving. I've got some.
But tell Clicky, whatever they're Clicky about my idea.
I will, but first and foremost, they need stores to sign up to get stuff delivered. That's the thing. It's no good saying, oh, you're not in my area. Well, if there's no store that's signed up, they won't be, will they?
Exactly. So we need to tell all the stores.
Yeah, so if you've got olives to sell, you need to tell Clicky and then they'll come and deliver them for you. And if you've got, you know, other stuff to sell, then they'll do it.
And
so
Oliver will get his people to parallel park and
You've decided that now, that all of his driving instructors are going to become delivery drivers.
It's multitasking. What women do all the time.
Yeah, okay. Well, you can do some deliveries.
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
I'm going from Ashford now to Whitstable if anybody wants
dropped off, yeah.
I've actually been flying around. I've got, it's Hunnicutt.
Oh, you fly as well, because they're pilots.
I know, they are. I've got a Hanukkah coming up. My husband's Jewish, so we have Hanukkah before Christmas, and I've got three nephews and a niece. And I've been to three post offices where I live, because we don't have post office in Whitstable anymore, so they're in Tesco Metro or Co-op.
Right.
And the queues, every time I've been about 30 long, waiting outside with masks on in the rain and the freezing cold.
For what?
To post a parcel in the post office.
I see.
And I've been driving around now for a week.
Oh, don't even get me
with a parcel in my car.
don't even get me started on parcels in post office.
Yeah, but Hanukkah's this Saturday. I've got to post it.
Yeah, but I was chatting off air to Ollie about my frustrations with people, big corporates that can't use technology effectively.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've got another story about that. Yeah. Amanda,
how long have we got, Oliver?
Yeah, my partner Amanda had an Amazon delivery that needed to be returned. And Amazon have a way of doing that where they send you a QR code.
Yep.
Yeah.
You go to the post office with the parcel, they print off the label, and you send it back.
Yeah.
So Amanda says, can you take the parcel to the post office for me, please? I'll WhatsApp you the QR code. Okie doke. I get to the parcel, I get to the post office, I queue up, I get to the front, I go, here's a QR code. My phone goes, you can't use the QR code. It's not your account.
No.
Yeah, because I've got Amazon on my phone.
Yeah.
So it looks at my phone and goes, no, you can't use it.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't let me do it. Yeah.
So you just walk home?
You need to swap phones then?
No, what I actually did was printed the QR code on a piece of paper.
Oh, how old school.
Took that in, yeah.
And they said, there, yeah, done it.
But it just shows you how
technology
can trip itself up.
Well, it's
anyway, we've got lots to cover today, and we've got loads of tweets coming in, and we've got loads of emails
and Twitter
stuff.
Has been extremely busy.
Yeah, so I'm going to read a few tweets. Brooke and Wyatt have been on. They say, have a great show, have a great day on the Business Bunker, and that's the lovely Catherine at Booker Wyatt. Booker Wyatt, a bookkeeping specialist based in Kings Hill over near Westmorling, or for Jules' benefit, West Malling. Chips and Dinks, another great show on the Business Bunker with a superb lineup of guests to look forward to, a must listen or on the catch up, not to be missed. That's lovely Bev and Tony at Chips and Dinks. I saw Bev was doing some of the spraying the other day as well.
Oh, yeah,
and
she
very
was.
Well, she was doing
well,
it, too.
Well, she looked beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. What else have we got? Oh, Tracy Ann Barker. Hello, howdy. She says, howdy. She's in the cowboy mode.
Is she?
Howdy. Business Bunker, Paul and Jules, I hope you're both well. Would love a shout-out. Thank you. Hoping to be listening live this week for the first half. Thank you all for care and nursing teams working hard in Kent with the rising cases. That's Tracy Ann Barker. You can follow Tracy Ann on the Twitter, Tabba, T-A-B-A, _ official, is her Twitter handle.
Intune PR, they're a new one that I haven't discovered much before. And she says, at Jules Circuit, it might be he, of course, might be a they, or an it, or anybody, or it could be a team. But they, Intune PR, are saying, just recovering from your long things remark on the Business Bunker show just now, Jules Circuit. You see, I slip them in, and some listeners are well aware of my meaning.
Absolutely.
And Chips and Dinks are listening in. I think we've just said that.
Yeah. Yep. I've had a tweet from Mike Payne.
Oh, yeah, he's over in Chicago.
And he says, hello, have a great show, guys. And Mike is a radio show host in Chicago.
The Windy City.
In the Windy City. Is it windy there, Mike? and he does a radio show, and he's been doing his radio show for 30 years, he says.
Yeah.
Wow. And he's having a listen to us.
My condolences, Mike.
Wants to find out how it's done back in the old Blighty.
You come and fiddle with our knobs here and see how you get on.
Yeah.
And Phil League, a big hello to you. He's been listening to the Scoff and Quaff, the Superior Show. And he is Phil, P-H-I-L, Lee, L-E-E, Photos. He's a freelance photographer with over 20 years' experience. Press, PR and media photography. There you go.
Tracy Ferguson, looking forward to listening live to the Business Bunker Show. I might be a little late as I'm delivering an online workshop this morning. Show's always topical and interesting. And good luck. So thank you, Tracy. That's Tazzy64, T-A-Z-I-64 is her Twitter handle.
And the Michael Park Surveyors, hello to you. They're listening in, and they're chartered surveyors and commercial property consultants. They do valuations, leases, property sales and management. So they do the whole thing there. Well done.
Cool. Have you got an email to read?
If you want, I was going to have a mince pie, but
I'll tell you what, I have a mince pie and I'll read this tweet because it's quite a long one actually, and it's from Paul and Polly.
Well, I do
at
like
Diamond
a long
Circle
one.
Weddings.
Yeah, I always like a long one.
Yeah, and they go, Vanilla Web, Jill Sirkin, it's Grief Awareness Week, which started on the 2nd of December and ends today on the 8th of December. Tonight, we're lighting up the Grand Hotel Folkestone in yellow in respect of this. Join us live tonight at 6 p.m. on our Facebook page. And join in with the 2 minute silence. So do check that out. Their Facebook page and their Twitter handle is DC Weddings UK. So check that out. Look up their Facebook page and watch live as they light up the fabulous Grand Hotel on the Lees there at Folkestone, overlooking the English Channel. Go on, what were you going to do? Oh,
right.
And Paul. I'm on a roll now from Diamond Circle Weddings. I think Polly might have sent this because she says there's DC Squirrel, which is Paul, who's the second one on the left in the photograph. This was taken at the weekend and he has now passed out as a rope operator on HM Coast Guard.
A
rope operator.
On the Coast Guard?
Yeah, on the RNLI.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
so what does that mean?
Boats.
He's on a ship and
he's on a lifeboat.
Hauling in the anchors and things.
No. When you get out to sea and there's some idiot swanning around on their lilo, you throw him a rope, don't you?
Oh, okay.
Give him a tow back in.
All right. Well, my new husband's always out there on his paddleboard. Yeah, it goes off for hours.
We're getting stuck and getting the RNLI out.
He goes over to Sheppey and all sorts.
Does he?
Yeah.
Does he need a passport when he gets there?
Probably. Did you know that the Construction South East Awards are coming up? They're in 2021, so this is a diary date. And they ask, how would you like to have an award-winning thing next to your...
an award-winning thing?
They didn't put thing in. I just
did I not put thing?
No, I think because I put an in front of the awards, it all went wrong, so I had to add a thing. How
do
would you...
do you want to take a deep breath and do it again?
How would you like... I've got, you know, mince pies in my mind.
She's eating it. She's like a little hamster at the moment. She's got a mince pie in each cheek.
Did you see that dormouse that got stuck in the bird feeder?
Yeah.
It was in my mum's Daily Mail.
So we
went into the bird feeder, Oliver, you're like this, and ate all the seeds and nuts. And then he expanded, this dormouse, in the bird feeder, and he got stuck and he couldn't get out. And they had to call the RSPCA, put him on a regime to get him out. Anyway, Construction South East Awards 2021, so diary date. How would you like to have award-winning next to your name? See? Better that way.
I preferred the second one, yeah.
Next to the name of your business, we'd like to recognise the achievements, developments and innovations around the South East. Your application is quick and easy. Enter for free now. And you can find out all about it by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk, put in a little forward slash, a little category, little forward slash, and then business hyphen events.
Fantastic. Do you know what?
Tunage?
It's cheesy tunage time.
Oh, I can't bear this.
Can you not? But this one picked itself.
Was it one I'll know?
Oh, yeah, it's one everyone knows.
I can't bear the pressure.
It drives everybody to distraction. But it picked itself. It was a no-brainer. It leapt out
of
me.
Is it I'll be driving in my car?
Almost.
Or something?
Almost.
Oh, driving home for Christmas.
Yeah, you named it.
How seasonal.
Yeah.
Those faces. I'm driving home for Christmas, yeah. Well, I'm moving down that line, and it's been so long, but I will be there. I sing this song to pass the time away. Driving in my car, driving home for Christmas. It's gonna take some time, but I'll get there. Top to toe in tailbacks. Oh, I got red lights all around, but soon there'll be a freeway. Just the same. Come.
just the same.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Locke Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
That was well cheesy, wasn't it? Chris Rea, yeah, driving home for Christmas. You see what I did there? That was a double cheese.
I'd forgotten it was Christmassy. I'd forgotten, really. Because I thought you were going to be, I'll be driving in my car, boom, boom. Who's that? Madness, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that Suggs? I always forget.
It is Suggs,
Because he lives in Tankerton, you know. He's often there.
He's a good lad.
So it could have had that. It could have had a little red Corvette.
Yeah.
I don't know whether...
But you see what I did? It was a double cheese.
Yeah.
It was a double cheese.
Yeah, with a little bit of stinking bishop.
Exactly.
In the exhaust.
Oh, I've been reading a book on the history of cheese, and I was going on about Stinking Bishop earlier for those that missed the reference to that.
On the Superior Show.
But it was a double cheese
entendre
record, and I'm really chuffed with it.
Yeah. It was good. Chris Rea, always. I mean, we are going to get traffic jams, aren't we, this year? Because Boris has said that we've all got to go away in 5 days and do it all in 5 days. There's no leeway going off before or after.
Are we allowed to drive though?
Well, I don't know. I don't think we can. I think we have to have an electric car, a hybrid now, don't we?
Yeah, we're all going on a milk float.
Oliver will know, won't he?
Yeah, anyway, so well.
I used to come home on the milk float.
I bet you did. From Night on the Tiles.
That's what I used to do.
Yeah, 4 o'clock in the morning.
You'd hitch a lift and then you'd whip a little bottle of cream milk off the top, you know, and then pretend that the sparrows had got it.
Yeah.
And take it off the doorstep.
We won't even go there. And it wasn't sparrows that ate the milk. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome, for the very first time, onto the Business Bunker show, young entrepreneur Oliver Tuffney. Ollie, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to see you. You've made all the trek all the way down from London. He's down from London, Jules.
Yeah, Kensington, nonetheless.
Yeah. West Kent,
Well, I used to live there in Matheson Road. You've got to find Matheson Road now, but it was W14.
Check it out on the way home.
I was on the Scoff and Quoff show. You asked me where I grew up, and I said Fulham.
I thought it was the Balls Pond Road.
No, you said that. I said Fulham at the Clem Attlee Estate, and somebody on Twitter has posted a photograph of the Clem Attlee Estate for me.
No way.
Just to remind me,
Oh, do you ever go back?
Not to the estate, no. I go back to that area because I'm a Chelsea supporter, so I go and watch games when we're allowed.
I once had a very rich friend who owned Chilham Castle. You know her.
I know, yeah.
And my brother used to live on a housing estate like Brookside, sort of, a normal estate in Chelmsford. So I said to her, when I used to live next door to her in the Chase in Clapham, and I said to her, and she said, where does your brother live? And I said, oh, he lives on an estate. She said, who? Oh, which estate? No, Tess, not like Chilham Castle.
They got pheasants. No, they got peasants. Anyway, listen, Ollie, thank you so much for joining us on the show. It's an absolute pleasure to meet you and to hear from you. Why don't you kick off by introducing first yourself and then your new business?
Sure. Okay, so my name's Oliver. My business is Rated Driving Instructors. The best way of describing Rated Driving Instructors is like an Airbnb, but for learner drivers. So you come onto the platform, you type in your postcode, you select your criteria, so whether it's a manual or an automatic, whether you're looking for hourly lessons or intensive lessons, type in all of your details, hit go, and then we connect you with driving instructors in the area that match that criteria.
Right.
And then you can see the profiles of each of those instructors, which include reviews from previous learners.
Cool. I like that.
That's the long and the short of it.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a fairly straightforward thing that you're doing, really. It's a comparison website, and I own a couple of those myself in different areas. Those kind of things are very useful nowadays. So first of all, it's you and your brother that run the site, is that right? Tell us a little bit about your backgrounds, and I'm interested in your journey as well. Like
not his car journey, not his driving.
He came by train.
Yeah, did he?
Yeah,
very good.
He came by train.
Probably one person on the train.
Yeah,
it wasn't many.
But I'm interested in why you decided to start a business, why you decided to start that kind of business, and then we'll kind of explore from there, if that's all right.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. So it's really quite an interesting story. It wasn't like we sat down with a piece of paper and decided this is the business that we're going to go for. We kind of fell into it, as often happens with new businesses. So my brother Kev, he took a career detour and decided to become a driving instructor. He went
That's it, Jules.
There was one somewhere.
It's Kev who's a driving instructor.
He was very cagey about it, Oliver, because he just let me, you know, feel embarrassed about the whole conversation.
Quite right, too. Yeah.
So he went through it's really quite arduous in order to become a driving instructor. It's not an easy thing, and rightly so, given what you're doing. You know, you're helping people get onto the road, so understandable. My brother went through the journey of becoming a driving instructor, taking the various tests, and he was promised that when you start becoming a driving instructor, you're going to have this many hours. But then when he got to the end and he passed his tests and came out to the other side, it was almost impossible for him to get learners. It was almost impossible for him to fill his books because it's a referral-based industry.
And you've got to actually market yourself as well, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Run a car, presumably.
Yeah, and so he left the industry more or less as quickly as he went into it. He had bills to pay and he didn't have anyone on his books. So the frustrating point which led to us coming up with the business was, I'm a good driving instructor, but I can't get learners because I don't have a big network.
Yeah.
That was the insight. And from there, the idea was born of, okay, well, what about if we could have a platform which had all driving instructors, but they're reviewed by previous learners, and so people aren't making a decision based on what their Auntie Julie said to them or the instructor that lives down the road. They're making a decision based on who the best driving instructor is. Yeah. And that's what it should be.
Yeah.
So it was at that point then that my brother got in contact with me and suggested that we go into it together. And I did a little bit more research. And to be honest with you, when looking at the industry, it is so ripe for disruption. So ripe.
Tell us
marketplace
how.
Marketplace disruption, that is. So if you look at other marketplaces that have been disrupted, so if you think of the taxi industry, the hostel industry, and even go to the insurance industry, each of them, when disrupted by the likes of Uber, Airbnb, GoCompare, so on and so forth, they all share a couple of similar criteria. So firstly, there's an incredible amount of competition, right? So with driving instructors, just to illustrate that point, there's over 40,000 in the UK, 40,000 independent driving instructors, an awful lot. Number two, it's very difficult for the average person to be able to distinguish the difference from one versus the other.
Yeah.
So if you were to look at another market, you could say the takeaway market where Just Eat came in. To walk down the high street, it's almost impossible to know, is that one good, is that one good, is that one good, until you've got an aggregator which does the comparison for
and the
you.
Reviews.
Yeah.
So that was the same thing again. It's really difficult to know that driving instructor is good, that one's bad. Then overlay on top of that, when the learner, or the average learner, spends over £1,000 on driving lessons.
Wow. Yeah, it's not cheap, is it?
What else would people buy today for £1,000 without comparing it? Nothing. Nothing.
Absolutely.
So that was, when I did my research and looked at other companies that had gone into similar criteria industries, it just seemed like, okay, this is just so ripe for disruption.
Yeah.
There's got to be a market here. There's got to be a market here. And then the journey began.
Absolutely. And you kind of nailed it right up front there, Ollie, because you're absolutely right. One of the beauties of the internet and technology is you can bring the marketing aspects of a giant corporation down to a level. Because back in the day, what you had was two or three giant a British School of Motoring, the AA, the RAC, had driving schools, and most driving instructors worked as franchises off of those things.
They'd so hire the car, wouldn't they, off them and things like that?
Sometimes, but more often than not, all you're doing is sharing your hourly rate with someone that's done the marketing for you, but you had to work for one of those big corporate organizations in order to get the business, because that's where, you know, everybody had, you know, if you wanted to learn to drive, you went and found your local driving school in Yellow Pages, which would have been one of those big driving schools.
Or word of mouth would be, wouldn't it?
Word of mouth. But again, that's the thing which is fascinating about this industry. Like, if you were to purchase a product, you wouldn't rely on just one review.
Yeah.
If you look on Amazon, you see a product with one review. I'm not buying that. You've got to be joking. Now put £1,000 price tag on it. Absolutely not. No thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
crazy.
I mean, this again, it's one of the powerful things about comparison websites, isn't it? Is you've got the wisdom of crowds.
Yeah.
You know, you're always going to have someone that's unhappy about something. So you're always going to have one or two low marks for anything, really. But it's having the vast majority of people saying what you want to say, you know, when you review something. So I really do get that. I could tell you some funny stories about learning to drive. My youngest son, Stu, he was having driving lessons, and he was put in for his test. And 3 days before the test, his driving instructor rang up and said, "No, I don't think you're ready, so I'm not coming."
Oh,
what?
That's awful.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I mean, left him on his own?
Yeah, well, without a car or anything. So luckily, I had a spare car knocking around that he could drive.
Wow.
So I said, "Well, what do you want to do?" You know, and he went, "Well, I think I'm ready to drive." So I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. I'll insure you on the car, and I'll take you out a couple of times, and then I'll come on the test with you." And he passed first time.
Well done.
Because he's a really good driver.
Stu, yeah.
And I contacted the instructor, and I went, "What the hell was all that about?" And he went, "Oh, no, he's not a good driver. He's not." I went, "He passed, you idiot." And he went, "Oh." I went, "What was that? Come on. What was it really about?" "Oh, yeah, well, I didn't fancy doing it that day."
No. But that's really pretty rare. Most driving instructors are lovely.
But again, you know, I'll be interested in your views on this, Ollie.
Yeah.
Of course, like a lot of things, like a lot of service-based businesses, it is about relationships as well. Mm-hmm. It's how you get on with the person that's teaching you, yeah, something like that, because there can be all kinds of conflicts with someone, you know. So, you know, I don't know how much depth you go into on your reviews, but if someone came along and said, "Look, I went with this driving instructor, but they were quite abrasive in the way that they talked to me, and I couldn't handle that."
Some people are very timid.
And some people are intimidated by that, by someone going, "No, turn left.
Yeah.
Whereas some people will go, "Shut up, I'm trying to turn left." And that's, you know, so you need to know that. And it's important that you know that, because it can save a lot of grief.
It's a huge thing. I still remember, I'm quite an old bird, Oliver. You may not think I look it, but
very
I am
old,
quite old.
It's very old.
But I still remember, I took my test in London. I was, I think, 18, 19. I still remember my driving instructor, and I bought him a bottle of vodka afterwards. But, you know, his advice was,
he needed it to get over his shoulders. <Yeah. laughs>
But his advice was, just imagine everybody on the road is an idiot. Everybody else is an idiot. If they signal or they don't signal, you know, don't believe that they're not going to do something. And that was brilliant advice. And he was really sweet. And he got me through on about, I think, 10 or 11 lessons. And I drove over Hyde Park Corner. In those days, you just could. You know, I wouldn't fancy it.
Wow.
But I always remember that first driving instructor.
Everyone does.
It's a big thing.
But the thing is, like, with that experience, which you illustrated there, Paul, and your experience, everyone else should know about that.
Yeah.
Right? Because other than whoever you tell about that bad experience, that's going to be as far as it goes.
Yeah.
But beyond your close friends, or I don't know if you're at a party or whatever referring to it, other than that, no one knows. But everyone should know if they're going to book that driving instructor. This is what he does. Yeah. You're going to pay loads of money. You can get close to the end. And if he's got a busy Saturday, then you're going to get the cut.
Yeah.
Which is really bad.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, and also don't forget, many are females.
They are an increasing number.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
And I guess this is, again, what Ollie was saying about having put your criteria in. If you're a female driver, you might prefer to be taught by another female.
You can make a selection.
You might feel safer in the car, or, you know, all kinds of reasons why you might want
that. No flirting if you're with a bloke, you know, if there's a thing. I once tried to learn guitar and I had a broken leg. I was really bored. And so I thought I'll have guitar. And this guy was very handsome and I just couldn't concentrate, you know, and we just used to giggle and things, you know. So it's actually, if I'd have had a female one, it might have gone better.
You could probably play the guitar now.
Yeah. In fact, on that point of selecting gender of instructor, so when you go through the options that you select in the run-up to hitting your submission, one of the options is male instructor, female instructor, or don't mind. Mm. And more often than not, people do select.
Yeah.
Like there is a preference, both with guys and with girls.
Yeah.
Which I found quite surprising.
And also, let's talk about smoker, non-smoker, because even if someone doesn't smoke in a car, you can still smell it on their clothes. And I would hate that. You know, I would get a scratchy throat immediately I got in with someone. Or someone wearing loads of perfume. All these things are sort of, they're personal, aren't they? You know, or do they pick their nose while they're driving?
I don't think you could go down to quite that level.
I would.
I want a male driving instructor with an inside leg measurement of 31 with clean clothes, but I don't want them washed in Dove. I want them washed in
I don't want all that smell of fabric conditioner. That's just too much. And it depends on the aftershave.
Some people are just fussy.
We'll put it in the ideas part.
A nice woody based aftershave.
When did you launch the business, Ollie?
So I would say there's really two launches. There was the first launch, which was sort of mid last year. But that was very much MVP. Very much minimum viable. There was no payment gateway. It was just let's see if it works. And it was an evening project that was sort of kicking around in the background. And then back in January, we partnered with a tech company, which in hindsight, I wish we'd done from day one. Because if you're building a tech company and there's not a techie on the team, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
So we found out. We partnered with a tech company and then had the whole site rebuilt. And then that was relaunched in June.
Right.
So mid-pandemic. So I'd say that was
timing.
Kind of two launches, but I'd say that was like the real one because that had the proper functionality, that had the payment gateway. That was, is this a business or not?
Yeah.
That was some choppy waters that we went into.
Did you get any help with furlough or anything?
No.
As a new business, that's the thing, isn't it? It's really
too
difficult.
Early stage.
I mean, so we're in 2020, which is a disruptive year, which is an understatement. You've launched a business. It was a great time to launch a business when things are at their worst. I have to tell you, having launched quite a few businesses, quite often, if you can launch something that can survive in these kind of times, then when these times are over, you really are home and dry. And anyway, you know, and I know that the idea you've got is a winner. It just is. Yeah, because it, as you quite rightly said yourself, it's a classic disruptive business that nobody else is doing. And that's fantastic. So it is gonna be a success no matter what. It's just launched at a time when it's difficult to, because obviously driving instructors aren't allowed to do driving.
Although, funnily enough, for us, in a weird twisted way, I'm actually now really, really grateful that we launched when we did. Because...
Why?
It was almost... I mean, commercially, it was pretty terrible. But it put our business model under a microscope. It was either going to work or it wasn't going to work. And given that we just launched the commercialized model in June, it highlighted to us very, very early some flaws in our model. But if we'd launched in a time where everything was rosy, they would have been disguised.
Yeah.
Right? And the pain wouldn't have been bad enough to make a big change.
Yeah.
But fortunately, the pain was bad enough. Mm. And so after about 2 or 3 weeks of being in market, we completely changed the model of how we connect driving instructors and learners. And that ended up actually being transformational for the business. It increased the number of leads which we generated fivefold.
Right.
It was incredible. But had it not been during COVID, had we not experienced the challenges that we did, there's no way that we would have been quite so quick to make such a big move in the business. Right. So in that weird kind of way, it really helped us.
Yeah, no, I get that. I want to ask a strange question.
Go for it.
Another
which
one.
I just thought about. Is there an option to learn to drive in an electric vehicle?
I mean, we don't have it as a drop-down selection yet.
But you'll have drivers that are going to bring them in, I would think.
Yeah, inevitably, especially with the legislation which recently came in about from 2030, all cars that need to be electric, which is pretty huge. So I imagine that's going to be coming pretty thick and fast over the next couple of years.
I just wondered if there were many driving instructors about that had electric vehicles. I'm sure there must be some, but interesting. Cool. I mean, it's a fantastic story. It's a fantastic journey. It's a really clever idea. It's a necessary idea as well, because of the whole scheme around driving and this relationship with instructors. When I learned to drive
in 1066,
it was a long, long time ago. And my then wife and I, my then wife said to me, "I want to learn to drive."
Right.
Neither of us drove. We lived in London. Neither of us drove. We just moved out of London, but we both worked in London, and we lived smack opposite a railway station. There was no need to drive over a car. But she said, "I want to learn to drive," and I'm not really interested. And she said, "Well, I don't want to do it on my own." So we decided to have driving lessons together. Oh, and our instructor...
What, two of you in the car?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
One in the back?
Yeah, I sit in the back.
Or did you get a three-seater?
No. I'd sit in the back for the first hour, and then we'd swap over for the second hour. Huh. Yeah.
Sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Well, the instructor knew that I wasn't really interested in it, and I was only doing it because Chris wanted to do it, yeah? So he and I didn't get on at all. Yeah, but I was very flippant. I just, you know, whatever. Yeah, and he'd go, "You're just messing about. I don't even know why you're doing it," because she wanted me to.
Yeah. Anyway, and you were a backseat driver.
Yeah, yeah. No, anyway, he put her in for the test. And I went, "Well, you're going to put me in as well." And he went, "No, because you're not ready. You're rubbish." And I went, "No, well, we ought to go together." So he put me in for the test as well. And we got them on the same day, back to back.
Anyway.
Yeah. She went first and failed.
You didn't pass.
Did first
you?
Time, yeah.
No, and you've been sitting in the back haggling and not even paying attention.
And he was livid. He was livid. I said to him, course. "Oh, can I drive home?" And he went, "No, you cannot."
I think that's awful. That just isn't fair. And Chris should have passed. And
did she pass after that? She passed second time. I tell you what was...
When you weren't in the car, probably.
Yeah, I tell you what was hilarious.
Annoying her.
What was hilarious, I passed on my birthday. And the
Leo.
And the examiner said, this is his words were, "Thank you for that, Mr. Andrews. As an early birthday present, you've passed."
Even though he didn't like you.
Really.
He thought you were sort of...
No, this was the examiner, not the instructor.
Oh, the examiner. Because they don't normally talk to you. I don't know if it's different.
Exactly. No,
in those days,
afterwards, obviously.
My daughter, Sydney, who's 34 or something, I was on the school run in Canterbury.
She's a slow learner.
I was taking my 24-year-old then, you know,
who was still in primary school.
And I used to do the PR for this private school as well. And so they educated my son and I did all their PR. So no money changed hands. Very cool.
Yeah, very good.
So I was driving through Canterbury and actually saw my daughter on her driving test on the old Dover Road. And she's coming down looking really stony-faced with the driving, you know, examiner. And I said to Shay, my son, I said, quick. And we just had to dive bomb down a side road, you know, because she would have seen our car and it would have really put her off.
How did she do?
She passed.
Oh, good for her. Yeah,
but she sort of vaguely saw us flash down a side thing at 80 miles an hour.
Ollie, it's been a pleasure talking to you about your new business.
And I think there could be a book, Ollie, sorry to interrupt, on driving instructors and funny stories and that. That could be your next thing.
I'm sure there's plenty of them.
Yeah, there must be hundreds.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure we could collect a few. Ollie, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you for having me.
And we wish you much success with the business. It's going to be a rip-roaring success. If people want to find out how to use the site, what's the website address?
RatedDrivingInstructors.com.
Fantastic. There's a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website, which will stay there forever if you ever want to find it. Ollie, do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, Oliver Tuffney of Rate Your Driving Instructor, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Very interesting. Now I want a book, Oliver.
Right.
Ollie.
I've got another guest that we're going to talk to in a moment on a completely different subject. I caught up with Bronwyn Rich of...
the lovely Bronwyn.
This Way Up Wellbeing. And we were talking about... some of the stresses and strains, and sadly, the increasing rate of suicide, especially amongst younger men. So we just caught up on that. But just before we do that, do you want to do a quick tweet or email?
There's a Christmas Marsh Network online. It's this Wednesday, manana, tomorrow. As a final reminder, you can book at kentbusinessradio.co.uk with a little /marsh-network and make sure of your place. So it's the 9th of December, manana. Join businesses and other organisations from East Sussex to mingle. They have a 10-minute speaker who's Lee Harrington, and he'll be telling them about the support available for businesses from the FSB. More of them later on the Business Bunker show. And it's up to you whether to wear your Christmas hats or not and showcase your business. And that's from the Terry T. Botty on the Twitter.
TD Botty. Give him a follow.
Yeah.
I've had a tweet from charity buddy Martin Reeves. Can I have a mention on the Business Bunker show, please, Paul? I'll be listening in later. Have a great show.
Well, is he in the loft again?
He's probably up in the loft again, isn't
he? He fell out last week.
Yeah. See, I was up in the loft the other day.
Were you lofty?
Yeah.
Getting your Christmas decorations.
Yeah, I found a present that I bought for the daughter last year. She would have loved it. It was a nice puppy.
Oh, that's awful. That's really cruel. Did you make that up?
No, it's real.
It cannot be. Rats. Oh, that's a terrible joke.
Yeah, sorry.
I sent my new husband up to get the Christmas hats this morning at some unearthly hour. Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media, Christmas Countdown. She says she's hosting a Christmas Countdown every day throughout December, and it's your chance, Business Bunker listener, to join her live on her Facebook page, where there will be giveaways, content and support for small businesses. And yesterday they had a fabulous book bundle giveaway, and entries for that are open until the 7th of December. What's the date today? The 8th. Oh, well. So you can go there and get the next bundle. Click here for the full Christmas Countdown Advent calendar, and you can go to zcsocialmedia.com/Christmas-Advent-calendar.
Fantastic. Let's hear from Bronwyn, shall we?
Yeah, let's.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker show Bronwyn Rich of This Way Up Wellbeing. Bronwyn was on the show just before the start of lockdown, when we talked about the potential for health implications outside of the COVID pandemic itself. I thought it would be nice, kind of 10 months in, to catch up with Bronwyn now we've had a chance to see what's going on. So it's a pleasure to welcome you back, Bronwyn. Why don't we kick off by you reminding the listeners what it is that This Way Up Wellbeing does?
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having us back on. So This Way Up Wellbeing, we provide professional training in mental health first aid in the workplace and with children and young people in schools and other centres, and suicide first aid in communities and in the workplace, as well as other health and wellbeing stress management programs.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things we've seen as this pandemic unfolds is lots of people suffering with mental health issues due to isolation, worries economically and socially. You know, that's kind of anecdotal from us. Are you seeing that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there is definitely a spike and an increase in poor mental health, mental illness around anxiety and depression and suicide in children and young people at one end, and the other demographic is men,
yeah.
Middle-aged men.
Absolutely. Funnily enough, it's not funny at all, strangely enough, I know more people that have taken their own lives in the last 9 months than I do that have had COVID. And I don't mean died from COVID. I mean even had COVID, which is really scary. And of course, one of the problems is that there's no outlet. You know, we're all kind of locked in at home, isolated, and there's no sense of sharing. You raised an important point the last time I spoke to you about the lack of social places for men, especially, to go and share their problems.
Yeah, absolutely, Paul. You know, like with females, there are, you know, we do have more contact with health services, and services are generally set up for women, and men aren't really accessing health services. Not until it gets to the critical end is when men usually present with a health issue. But absolutely, we don't create the opportunities or acknowledge the need for men to have spaces to share their feelings and emotions and thoughts.
I mean, because traditionally, men tend to share anything that they share in the pub with their mates or in social settings, which again, we're locked out of at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. We've shut down the pubs and shut down the opportunities even for sport, really.
Yeah.
Sport and leisure activities, and she said the pub. So there's a lot of places that men would have had those chats that are no longer available to them.
Absolutely. I mean, it's odd, isn't it? Because you get things like Mumsnet, the online group, where mums can go along and share their concerns, their worries, ask questions of the group, get feedback and get support. But there isn't really anything like that for men, is there?
No, I mean, there are a few, you know, initiatives that can be accessed, but as you said, you know, on a more kind of like local level, there aren't the support isn't necessarily being provided by workplaces or by you know, community groups and so on and so forth. We're more targeted towards children and mothers, as you said, and you know, within the workplace we have this idea about the, you know, providing additional support for those within protected characteristics, which is quite right. We need to do that, absolutely. We do need to make adjustments and make those kind of opportunities for diversity. But actually, there are some groups that are not recognised under that particular Equality Act that actually are affected, like I said, with the male population being disproportionately affected by suicide, three times more likely to take their life than a female. That's something that we really need to pay attention to. And although it might not come under the framework of you know, protected characteristics, there's an element there that we actually need to make a response to it, to suicide within that demographic, and provide something just as we would for females. Like, we have staff networking, for instance, for menopause and for women and disabilities and BAME, and we need to start acknowledging the need for men to be recognised, so that we can prevent men getting to the stage where they're thinking of taking their life and engaging in suicide behaviour.
Because it's odd, isn't it? We've kind of given people, in general, men and everybody really, a protracted worry time, because normally if you're going to lose your job, if you're struggling financially or whatever, it's something that happens quite quickly to you. At the moment, we, you know, back last March, we started telling people that they didn't really have a job, so they were going to be furloughed. And that's been almost a year now of people going, am I going to lose my job? I don't know. Am I going to have any money? I don't know. What's going to happen when this unfolds? I don't know. And then we've added on top of that, there's a vaccine. Are you going to have the vaccine? Are you not going to have the vaccine? You know, there's so many things that have been put into the pie. And then they've locked us indoors so we can sit and stew on it for about 5 months. And to me, that seems to be the worst possible way that you could go around supporting anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, a lot of things have felt out of people's control. And the concern that, you know, that I do have is the fact that furlough has been holding back, you know, some of those possible redundancies. And, you know, we do know that, as I said, men within that age range from sort of 45 upwards are in that spike of more likely to be at risk of taking their life by suicide. So, you know, we have to sort of think about, if the support mechanisms are not there, we've taken away the support, we've taken away the structure, and then a job loss on top of that could just be you know, the last straw. So we really do need to think about, as you said, all of those factors you know, are quite toxic.
Absolutely, absolutely. Look, Bronwyn, thank you so much for joining us. It's not a nice subject, but it's a subject we do need to raise and we do need to talk about. And men do need support groups to help them through this. If people want to find out more about This Way Up Wellbeing, you've got a website, I know, and we've got that website link on our website, but just give us a shout out for what the website is.
Okay.
I do that to you every time because you always struggle with it, don't you? Let me tell you what your website is. It's This Way Up Wellbeing, but it's this hyphen way hyphen up hyphen wellbeing.co.uk. And there's a link to it on the Kempis Radio website. Bronwyn, thank you so much. Keep on doing what you do. If it wasn't for people like you and your organisation, we really would be in trouble. You are there to help people, and we really do appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks, Paul.
Okay, stay safe, and we'll see you again soon. Yeah?
Thank you.
Bye for now.
Bye.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
Welcome back. That was Bronwyn Rich there of This Way Up Wellbeing, talking about the support that so many people need now. We've had loads of tweets in about the discussion we've had. I've been put right, quite rightly, by Diamond Circle Weddings. And this is Paul, and he says the Coast Guard is something different to RNLI. He's working for the Coast Guard, not RNLI. HM Coast Guard is one of the blue light emergency services and are responsible for the coast rather than the sea. So I don't dangle my rope in the sea. I dangle it over the cliffs.
So that would be for people that are sort of dog walking and they've gone too near the edge and things, or maybe to lasso up on a dog or something that hasn't been left in your loft.
Quite possibly.
Over a year.
Yeah. Quite possible.
That would be what they do, isn't it? Lasso people.
Yeah, okay. Well, obviously, he dangles ropes over cliffs.
Yeah. Amazing.
Tracy Ferguson says, thank you for the shout-out. And we've got loads and loads of tweets, and in between there's a load of people arguing on my Twitter feed about Brexit, which has got nothing to do with this radio show at all. Laura Lawrence, the lovely Laura Lawrence, has said, hi, Paul and Jules, all tuned in and looking forward to the show. Paul, you're looking festive today. That's because she's seen a picture of me with a Father Christmas hat on, isn't it?
Yeah. I think I brought some in today because, for me, it's the start of Christmas.
Yeah. Now, there's quite a bit of comment, and I can't find it now, about Ollie's bit with some stories of driving.
Okay.
Let me see if I can find them.
'Zinat Nurani has been on, saying, loving your hat.
Tracy Ferguson is saying, what a fantastic and simple idea the driving instructor website is. Really, really good. Tracy Ann Barker, I was told the same thing by my instructor, Jules, too. Think everyone else on the road is an idiot. She said, I passed first time after just 14 lessons.
Very good. Yeah. It's very good. I mean, it's a lot of money nowadays. It was, in our day.
Yeah.
But it's a big, big commitment. And my thing, what I did with the kids was I just made them have two lessons a week, actually. I did it quite short and sharp with them.
Yeah.
And threw money at it for a while.
Martin has said, I failed my... He's written second... So I'm not sure if it's his second or his first driving test. The examiner told me to parallel park when there were kids behind the car. So I refused, thinking it was part of the test to see if I was paying attention. She got really angry and slammed the dashboard and told me to just do it. Yeah,
that's terrible.
Yeah, she then failed me for something else.
Really?
Oh, dear. I don't think you and her were getting on, were you?
But he was quite right to do
that. Yeah, yeah.
If there were children. Because you do have a blank spot in a reversing thing, don't there? There is a little tiny blank spot. And of course, as you get older, Paul Andrews, you'd know about this, your little neck gets a bit stiffer, doesn't it, when you have to reverse and things.
Yeah.
And you have to crane round a bit more, don't you?
Yep. Did you read the Southeast Business in Women thing? Did you just read that?
No, I will.
Free Women in Business Christmas special. All ladies welcome. No PowerPoint, no presentations, just useful discussions and lots of fun and laughter. Join us while we boot out 2020 and welcome 2021. To find out about it, you need to follow them on the Twitter, SE Business Group. SE Business Group. Do give them a follow. Charity Buddy has just made reference to Bronwyn's interview. I openly suffer with severe anxiety and severe depression, all due to my hidden pain disabilities since 1995. I've had counselling, pain management, plus all sorts of help from charities. Some people think I'm weak, but I've had to fight through this all. Absolutely, Martin. It's not weakness, is it? I mean, people with illnesses and problems and pain are anything but weak. It's totally the opposite. You know, you have to be stoical and, you know, just try and work your way through it. I totally agree. And then Tracy Ferguson also says, completely agree with Bronwyn, This Way Up Wellbeing, that furlough is masking and delaying so many challenges for both people personally, the economy and the cohesion of the community. Absolutely right.
Did you read Tracy's at Tasey 64? So she says, completely agree with Bronwyn. Did you read that one?
I just read it.
Oh, did you? Sorry. I'm reading my whole feed and I'm not listening to you. I'm awfully sorry.
Oh, Zeenat Noorani's been on. She said, I love listening to you. I think she means me, not you.
I think she means me. And she said she passed wearing no glasses.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what?
I don't laugh because you always say I sound like Sid James.
Yeah. Do you know what?
What?
We've got to join the Channel Radio newsroom now.
Oh, is it that time?
Yeah, yeah. We'll be back after the news.
Anytech, IT home and business support service covering Kent and East Sussex. Call 07745 178 665. That's 07745 178 665. Or visit our website. All the W's, anytech.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Grow your business with Kent's best business events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Here at Loch Associates Group, people are our business. Use our Flexi Retainer against any of our employment law, HR, health and wellbeing, and mediation services, all at a price that suits your business and with no long-term contracts. Use this time to recover and grow your business and let Loch Associates Group deal with your people needs. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. That was the Channel Radio News. We've got some more guests to talk to in the second half of the show. Ollie's still with us. We've got loads of tweets and emails and lots to do. I want to say a big shout out to our sponsors. The Business Bunker Radio Show is pleased to partner with leading employment law firm Loch Associates. They will be bringing you regular news, information and help with employment law, health and wellbeing at work. You can find out more about Loch Associates Group by going to their website, which is www.lochassociates.co.uk, and that's Loch spelt in the Scottish way, L-O-C-H.
And said in the Scottish way.
Ha, Loch.
Loch. Fantastic salmon. Never underestimate salmon in Scotland. Charities invited to apply for free marketing support. This year has been exceptionally tough, so marketeers at Story 22 want to offer two charities the chance to participate in a Mastering Your Marketing programme, which is worth £15,000. And the Sonia Whittam, who's a regular on the Business Bunker, she's the MD of Kent-based full-service marketing agency Story 22, has said they've been closely watching the devastating effect the pandemic has had on charities across the country and have been moved and worried about the long-term consequences on the charitable sector. So they knew they wanted to do their bit to help. And they set up Story 22, and the vision was to use their skills to help causes they felt passionate about. You can find out more by going to www.story22.co.uk, and they say they'll be working closely with the winning charities to develop an effective marketing and communication strategy, identify, engage and grow their online audiences, and build a new and engaging website to position them for future success. So there you go, story22.co.uk.
Thank you. The Business Bunker is also pleased to be sponsored by Spinnerjet, the facilities management company. They offer commercial cleaning, grounds maintenance, jet washing and much, much more. If you'd like to find out more about them, you can drop them an email at info@spinnerjet.co.uk.
Yeah, is he valeting your car at the moment?
Yeah, they have been valeting my car at the moment. Not that it goes very far. But
I bet they find all sorts of little biscuit crumbs and things in the back.
No.
Well, Lucy...
No, I don't allow biscuits in my car.
Don't you?
Of Good grief.
Oh, I have all good sorts grief. Of things in mine.
Yeah, I bet there are.
I haven't
like had little nest of mice.
I haven't had mine validated because of COVID for ages. I used to take it somewhere.
Very quickly, because we're kind of running out of time. My sister said to me one day, my car stinks. I've had it washed. I've had it professionally validated. And it still smells. Oh, really? And I went to her car and I went, oh, blimey, it does. Oh, what happened in here? And it was horrible. And she had it professionally validated and all kinds of stuff. And I couldn't get the smell away. And she then rang me up one day. When I found it, she said, obviously, when I've been getting the shopping one day, a little bottle of milk had fallen out of my shopping.
Oh, yeah,
and had gone milk. Underneath the seat, and it had been there 7 months. Can you imagine as well?
Well, there's no smell like milk, is there?
Yeah, yeah, it does gone off milk.
Very yeah. cheesy. And it's funny because yeah. you love cheese, don't you?
Exactly, but it hadn't had the rennet put to it, so no. it was not a good hard cheese.
So
it
you,
was
know, a, you know it was, all about cheese now you've yeah, got that yeah, book,
it was, rennet. It was a very green, soft cheese, it was.
Do you know what you did there, Oliver, except in words like rennet? I mean, yeah. you know, he knows all about, he's got a cheese book.
Stinky Bishop. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you know you can listen to the Business Diary podcast here by going to the Business Diaries .podbean.com, and you can listen to the personal journeys of business owners, often funny, sad, intriguing, and always entertaining. So go to businessdiaries.podbean.com.
Fantastic. Do you know what? I think we'll catch up with our next guest.
Yeah.
It was an absolute pleasure to talk with David Carter and Tracy Wood of the Community Cupboard.
Tracy Wood what? Oh, sorry, Tracy Wood. Okay, I'm with you. So I'm in one of those
the oldest ones are the best, aren't they? I used to go to school with a girl called Teresa Green.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had a gardener called Julie Barrow, and then she left, and then I had Sarah Root, and then she left, and I had Julia Tree.
So they should have all got together, and they could have had a big landscaping business. Yeah. Anyway, shall we hear what Dave and Tracy had to say yeah. about the Community Cupboard, which is a food bank with a difference?
What a great idea.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker show Tracy and David from the Community Cupboard. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. Why don't we kick off by you introducing yourselves, tell us who you are and what you do, and then we can go on to talk about the organisation itself.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having us. It's nice to be able to get to some sense of normality for 5 minutes. I am David and I'm here with Tracy. We are two of the founders of the Community Cupboard Food Bank and Signposting Service in Northwest Kent.
Welcome, David. Thank you. Let's hear from Tracy.
Hello there. Hi. Yes, I'm Tracy. As David said, we started off the Community Cupboard last year. Launched really just before Christmas last year, the official launch in January, and then hit by a pandemic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Which, of course, has made things even worse and made things, services like yours, even more necessary than maybe it was before because, you know, people are losing their jobs, people aren't working, people are unable to pay their rent and mortgages. You know, people are struggling.
I was just gonna say, absolutely. I mean, it's every demographic you can think of in some way or another has been affected by the pandemic, and unfortunately we see the very harsh reality of it on a daily basis.
I'm sure. So why don't you kick off by give us an overview of the Community Cupboard, and then I want to explore why you started it, when you started it, how you started it, if that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, basically, the Community Cupboard was set out initially to help local families, individuals, anybody who was struggling and in need of some help.
Right.
We were very mindful of the stigma that's attached to food banks. And as such, from the onset, we wanted to do things a little bit differently. You know, we wanted people to be able to come here. In our hub building, we have, you know, tables, chairs, and we have a general rule of thumb that nobody crosses the mat without being offered a cup of tea.
Right,
or a coffee, for that matter. But obviously, that's had to change significantly with the pandemic. But we just wanted somewhere where people felt the food was always going to be secondary. That was, right. that was a given that the food would be there. But we wanted people to see a friendly face, have the chance to meet people, just generally do things a lot more relaxed. And we found that by doing it that way, people were a lot more open about their situation, their circumstance, which allowed us to then signpost them to other organisations, charities and you know, government bodies that we work with that would be beneficial all round.
Absolutely. So what I'm hearing here is that you've created, a pandemic notwithstanding, a community space. So it isn't just a food bank where people rock up, take some food and leave again. It's a community space that gives them an opportunity to feel part of a community, to feel included and inclusive. Yeah.
Absolutely. And that was paramount from the get go. You know, when people turn up here, they say hello by name. You know, they let us know how their week's going, what their family's been up to, how things have been for them since we saw them last. Mm. And that makes things very, very different. It's a lot more relaxed, a lot more approachable. And, you know, it may sound a little bit cliched, but these people aren't figures. They're not statistics. They're people. And the only difference between us and them is circumstance.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. What I'd like to explore, if you don't mind, is how you started this whole project. You're based in premises somewhere. How did you do that? You know, because there's a lot of cost involved in doing something like you're doing to set up a community space. So how did it all come about? How did you get it off the ground?
I think David and I were working on another community project at the time.
Right.
I work for another company, again, out in the community. So between the two of those, we noticed that people were struggling more. We were seeing more things come up onto social media.
Mm.
And it really just started one day for me anyway, by saying, I think we need a food bank.
Yeah.
And David was very much, you know, if you're going to do it, let me know. I'll join you. And then speaking to Helen, who is one of our other trustees, who is actually the local vicar, and V, who works over at Wellfield and the community over there, the four of us got together and decided, yes, we could do this. And we started doing it out of the boots of our car.
Right, okay. Just because, you've got to start somewhere. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
People needed food and we could get it, and that's how it started. Right. And then it got bigger and bigger. We started to look for premises, which we couldn't find. And then West Kingsdown Parish Council approached us and said, we've got a building that is empty at the moment, which you can use. So,
wow, okay.
Yes, so that's how we ended up here. And they've been fantastic. They've been very, very supportive and provided us with our home. We then contacted some local tradespeople that we knew and put the word out. And before we knew it, we had the whole place revamped.
Yeah.
Wow.
Everything.
Isn't that good though? Doesn't it show you everything you need to know about local communities and why they are such a powerful force? Because when you ask people in a local community to come together, invariably they step up to the plate.
Absolutely. There's so many companies, so many individuals. Kent County Council gave us a grant to start off with. So that came in start, and that allowed us to purchase the computer we're using now, the desks, the racking, and everything that we didn't have provided by local services. I mean, we had the local plumbers.
We had everything.
Doing all the work.
Local tradesmen of every description, didn't we? We had electrical company supplying new lighting. We had local building company provide us with the paint. We had local tradesmen giving up their time to do everything free of charge. New kitchen.
It sounds was like an episode of DIY SOS.
I was just going to say, at any point, it genuinely could have been.
It really was. That's exactly what it's like.
Nick Knowles popped round and said hello, didn't he? Okay. Yeah.
he was the only thing missing, in fairness.
But that's really what it was like. It was like a community effort like that. Yeah. And it went on for a couple of weeks, and before we knew it, everything was done, and we started operating from here with our volunteers and opening our doors to to people to come in to actually have that cup of tea, get the food,
right,
and just really get to know us.
Yeah.
And right, we've sort of started to settle into that routine, yeah, and then it all kind of went a little bit wrong. So, it's all changed, drastically right, changed. But what we have done is we've really built our relationships with. We've got lots of different obviously services, so we work really closely now with Sevenoaks District Council, Kent County Council, with our community wardens,
Citizens Advice Bureau,
AGK,
Porch Lights. Basically, it's every sector. We've been very fortunate to work with. But in fairness, one of the main reasons for that is because we are independent. There is a very different criteria. We don't work on referral systems, although we have referrals in place from local schools, doctors, you know, so there's the necessary infrastructure in play there, but people can just contact us and talk to us and, you know, just say, I need help. I personally don't believe anybody should have to justify their need for food.
Right.
And that was something that we were very clear on from the get-go. There wouldn't be a lengthy procedure. If you needed help, and we can, we will.
Yeah, ask for it and you get it. Yeah,
I
get that. And I was going to ask you about that, about how you find the people that you're helping. And you said that with limited input, you get some referrals, but it's not a referral-based scheme. So presumably you promote yourselves and people find you. And if they need you, they come and ask for your help.
Yeah, absolutely. By teaming up with local services, facilities, the schools, the liaison officers within the schools, the doctors, and just improving our image via social media, we've been able to get into some of the areas where we found there are large groups of people that do need help instead of the odd, you know, person here and there. People can message us via our website. People can message us on Facebook, on social media, email, or just give us a call. And because there isn't the rigmarole of jumping through hoops on certain occasions, shall we say, we found that people are a lot more open to it because it's a voice on the end of the phone. It's somebody saying, what do you need? How can we help? You know, how are you?
Yeah. I don't want to get into a whole rant about this, but it's one of the things that drives me nuts about big organisations of any kind, be they private sector or public sector. They tend to manage everything top down and it's all computer say this, computer say that. And there's no humanness in it. One of the things I'm hearing from you and that I really love is that you're working at a human level. Yeah. That, you know, there's no procedures to fill in, there's no forms to fill in, you don't have to tick a certain set of criteria, you just have to come along and say help.
Absolutely. And that was something we were all collectively crystal clear on from the onset. We wanted to do things differently, but we wanted to create somewhere where if, say for example, say I was in need of help, we wanted somewhere where I could go, I would want to go, I would feel open to going. And the same for all of the other trustees as well. And that, unfortunately, especially in the food bank sector, shall we say, is an incredibly rare thing. You know, there are requirements, there are certain forms and regulations you need to fill in. But we wanted to do things differently, and that's what we set out to do. So, and I think we've done that.
It was definitely the way for us, and originally where we had 2 days or 2 sessions a week, we're now doing 5 sessions a week on the Monday to Friday. So they're 3 sessions Monday
through Friday with different opening hours. We found that locally a lot of different food banks will open for 1 hour a week or 2 hours a week.
Right.
And certainly at the start of the initial lockdown, everybody geographically to us, everywhere local that would offer a food bank service closed down.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. We went the other way. We went from 2 days to 5 because we knew that the need would be there. We knew the demand would be there. And more importantly, we knew that people needed help. So it wasn't even a question. It was just something that we did. Right. And as such, because of that, we were the only option for a lot of different groups, councils, right, and things like that, which massively increased our exposure because we had people coming to us that had never done so before.
Right.
And that meant that our area changed dramatically. We used to cover probably 5 mile radius, mm-hmm, 5-6 mile radius. That went out the window immediately. And in some cases went to 25, 30 miles away.
Really?
Wow. Just yesterday alone, we had a referral in for a round trip of 80 miles.
Wow.
And it's purely and simply because there was no other facility available to them, and right, they were desperate for food. And if you're willing to drive 70 miles to get some food, then you clearly need it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Because not only have you managed to do what you've done, but it's all part of this pandemic and lockdown as well, which has made everything an order of magnitude harder to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you, like us in small businesses, have had to try to spend time, money and resources making your premises COVID safe.
Yes,
yeah, and put in place processes to keep it safe and secure. And that's not easy either. So, I've got a massive amount of respect for what you've achieved under what are really, really bonkers situation, to be honest. Who'd have thought that we'd be here a year ago, looking at those kind of things on top of the things that you're having to do anyway. So
we're constantly having to change things, aren't we, to make sure that we can stay open, because we can't have people in the hub now.
Contactless, everything's contactless.
The cars, it's a bit like a drive-through sometimes almost. Cars will turn up, they beep, we go out with the boxes, put them down, and then
to a safe distance, and then they put it into their vehicles.
We get a bit of a shout across, hi, how are you? A lot of that has had to change, which is not great. But we do keep the contact with them. It's just not the same ways that we used to.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's still maintaining a personal touch, albeit from distance.
Yeah, sure. Have you any idea of the number of people that have used your facility? I'm sure lots of people use it, repeatedly, so I understand that. But I just wondered if you had any feel for how many.
Well, to give you a rough idea, before in the infancy of us being here, we would regularly send out, I would say, between 4 to 8 food parcels on a weekly basis.
Right. Okay.
About 2 weeks into the initial first lockdown, we were sending out between 10 and 15 food parcels a day.
Wow.
Still going.
and still increasing daily. So it's been a tremendous, tremendous, and to be honest, quite frankly, a terrifying increase. We regularly receive referrals on a daily basis. We can have certain days where 90% of the working day is responding to phone calls, emails, people who've sent in information via our website and getting back to them. So albeit we might say we're open for 2 hours on a certain day, we're putting in 6-7-8 hour days purely and simply because it's playing catch up with the need that's coming forward. And it's every area, it's every walk of life. To be honest, it's terrifying. The increase that this place and other places for that matter are seeing is
absolutely terrifying.
I think we've really seen an increase in the number of the size of the family as well, actually. Where before you might have had sort of a single person or somebody with 2 children, we've got a hell of a lot of sort of families with 5 or 6 children.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So that's been a massive thing.
Well, the costs go up exponentially, don't they? The more of you in a family. And, of course, again, part of this is that families are locked down together.
at the moment. Yeah,
so and the children eat more.
Yeah, so the children, there's nothing the else to do. It's not just the kids.
You've got children that are isolating from school. They're being sent home from school, so they're at home. They're needing more food at home. Like you say, they eat more.
And it's the other side of things as well. You know, if people are at home, the computers are on during the day. Yeah. You know, the television's on. The electricity bill goes through the roof. The water usage goes through the roof. It's all of those sort of things that wouldn't immediately spring to mind, but collectively make a big difference. And if, you know, say for argument's sake, some of the families have been on furlough, they've been barely making it as it is. So to have all of those resources fly up and your income go down, that's only, sadly, only going to go one way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So for you guys running the organisation, is the community company, is it a community interest company, a charity? How's it formed?
It's a registered charity.
Oh, right,
okay. It's a registered charity, yes. Yeah. Yes, we formed the charity last year, right from the start, within a few weeks of us working out of our boots, with the help of some other people. Yes, we managed to get the charity registered, so we're all there and...
Brilliant. All present and correct.
Okay.
and that's important because that means if people make financial donations, so you they can give gift aid and all the other.
Yeah, and we wanted maximum transparency as well. We wanted people, if you know, say for argument's sake, somebody did make a financial donation, we want them to be able to see where their money went.
Right.
You know, it doesn't get. There's no series of chain of events. It's I've given you money. Okay, you can see from our latest social media post that we've gone out and bought 500 bags of sugar or, you know, whatever it may be.
We like to recognise, don't we, on the social media?
Absolutely.
Everyone that allows us to. Some people like to remain anonymous, but where possible, we really, really encourage them to let us take their photo or to at least mention them on our page. Because I think it's really important that the community see that it's the community that's helping to do this.
Yeah,
And without the businesses or the personal donations and everything else, we can't actually do it. So everything that comes in is donated and it then gets donated back out again.
Right.
Yeah. And the local communities, local businesses, and as Tracy mentioned earlier, you know, certain governments and councils that have helped us along the way, there is absolutely no doubt whatsoever that without the continued support and the quite frankly astonishing support we've had, from the local community, local businesses, and further up as well, some of the mainstream, you know, supermarket chains and things like that.
Yeah.
There is absolutely no way we could do this. And we are genuinely astounded every single day by the generosity of the people that are involved with this place.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I said myself earlier, I think it shows you the power of communities. I'm a great communitarian. I believe in localism, and I believe in the power of doing things from the bottom up, because that's a much more human way of doing things. And what you're doing is the epitome of that. And all power to you for doing that. Thank you so much for being on the show with us. If people want to find out about a community cupboard, do you have a website, Facebook page? What's the best way to do it?
They can contact us on our website, which is www.thecommunitycupboard.co.uk. We have the Instagram, which is at the Community Cupboard. We've got our Facebook page, which is Community Cupboard 19.
And our email address, which is communitycupboard19@gmail.com.
Fantastic. Are you on Twitter?
We are,
but if I'm brutally honest, we have no idea what the handle is.
Oh, there it is. It's the Community CU1.
There you go.
Hold on. Let me write that down because you're going to get inundated on that because we Community.
So it's the Community CU1.
CU1. Okay. Do check that out because we get a lot of interaction from the show on Twitter.
Fantastic.
So you'll find a lot of people following you and supporting you on that.
That's amazing.
David, Tracy, thank you so much for joining us on the business.
No, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Keep on keeping on. Please keep in touch with us and let us know how it's going. Please keep in touch with us and let us know if you need any help. If you need us to promote anything or to put out a message or a request for anything, do let us know. But for the moment, keep on keeping on and fantastic. Great job.
Thank you,
guys.
Thank you very much
indeed for having us. You take care.
Pleasure.
Flex. flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
You're listening to Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back. What a fascinating story, the community cupboard.
Really good idea.
It's brilliant, isn't it? And
welcoming.
That's the whole point, isn't it? It's not a stigma to use it. It's not a rip-off to use it. It's people wanting help and getting help. And yeah. I really love that. And we've had loads of Twitter interaction about that.
And it could happen to anybody, any of us.
Yeah. Charity Buddy Martin saying, lovely story to hear, warms the heart. A local resident on our estate did something smaller scale and our community came together. As a family, we donated food, etc. Well done. No, absolutely.
And he said he's not in the loft this week because it's too nippy.
Yeah, Tracy Ferguson was saying, I made a thing about Nick Knowles and SOSDIY. I was just thinking, actually, said, where was Nick Knowles? Fantastic community support for a service, which unfortunately is so needed. Yeah, no, absolutely. So we're getting quite a bit of interaction on that story.
It still upsets me when I go to the high street and I see people sitting on the floor homeless, begging, you know, in this day and age. It struck me when we went to New York as well, a lot of homeless in the streets in New York. Yeah, a lot of mental health issues.
Talking about that and Bromwich, Tracy was saying to Martin, vulnerability and asking for help is a sign of strength.
Yeah.
In my eyes, and it absolutely is. Well done, and thank you for sharing this.
Yeah, we're all human.
Yeah, it's one of the problems, especially with blokes. You know, we get very macho about things and say,
I'm fine,
I can survive this,
I can handle it.
Yeah, but asking for help is a sign of strength. It's a sign of confidence in yourself that you can ask someone to help you.
Yeah,
and you know, you'd be amazed at how people will help you if you ask.
Mm.
They really will. So cool. What you got, Jules?
Well, Macnades, who are in Ashford and also in Faversham, they have freshly locally grown Christmas trees, which are available to buy at their Faversham and Elwick Place stores. And 5% of the proceeds from all tree sales will be donated to the brilliant Pilgrim's Hospice.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow Pilgrim's Hospice as well on Twitter and pick up the tree whilst doing your essential grocery shop and help make a difference. Love that shop.
Absolutely, it's fabulous, isn't it? Mm. And right at the moment, my mate Paul Babra is doing his Indian cooking
little
at McNay's on Thursdays and Fridays. Get along, get homemade Indian food that is to die for.
So is he there in the evenings?
Yeah, late afternoon and early evening. You know what Paul's like. He knocks out so much
I've
food.
Got pictures of us in Romney Marsh in the old studio
eating the stuff that
you know after the show. We ate loads, didn't we?
We did, yeah. You ate the whole box,
yeah, and you did.
I didn't touch any. I didn't get a look in.
TEDx Folkestone, they've got an event on next year, Saturday 27th of February, so it's an early bird ticket currently available. You can go to www.tedxfolkestone.com/attend. It's an online event, but they've got big plans to get creative with talk videos as well as having lots of breakout activities. And they said they're currently doing a mascot design competition for 11 to 18 year olds, and the info is also on the website.
Fantastic. Do you know what we're going to do now? It's time for the FSB news.
Oh, lovely. Keep up to date.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup, offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
We love your small independent business. Last week, the FSB launched our pre-Christmas campaign to encourage people to buy from and celebrate their local and independent businesses. The unprecedented pressure on small businesses throughout 2020 means they desperately need a boost from their local communities in the run-up to Christmas. The Love Your Small Independent Business campaign is asking local people to not only actively support their local independent businesses in Kent by using the hashtag hashtag I Love Small Business online, but also to share any images they take when shopping at small businesses in their local area. What a fantastic thing. So do that. I'm going to tell you about a number of events that are happening over the next few weeks. And at the end, I'm going to give you the link for all of them, which is the same.
Can you tell me the hashtag again? Sorry.
The hashtag is I Love Small Business.
Lovely.
Hashtag I Love Small Business. There's a business boot camp called Reboot 2021. It's a webinar taking place on Monday the 25th of January at 9:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. The event is designed to benefit entrepreneurs, self-employed and small businesses across the UK. So it's a national FSB webinar, Business Reboot 2021, to try and get us back on track. There's an FSB webinar, Minimising Risk When Carrying Out Small-Scale Redundancies. As I said earlier, I'm going to give you the booking details for all of these things and the website at the end of this section. There's an FSB Kent webinar using LinkedIn to help to build a business pipeline for 2021. Oh, you'll like this, Jules.
Oh, what is it?
It's the big FSB Kent Christmas Jumper Zoom Networking.
Oh, yes. I do love a Christmas jumper.
10th of December.
I actually don't own one.
Go out and get one quickly.
I'm sure I can get one.
From a local
small
shop.
Business, yes, yeah. Which I love.
10th of December, 10 to 11am. Decorate your screen, wear your best Xmas jumper and join us. Also, join the FSB on the 16th of December for a webinar on the end of the transition period and have your questions answered by our expert panel on Brexit trade. There's FSB Maidstone Virtual Networking. Wednesday the 27th of January, 4 to 5pm, join Peter Searle for relaxed networking with like-minded business owners, and everyone is welcome. And then there's an FSB Kent Women in Business Brunch on Thursday the 28th of January, 9:30 to 10:30. That's breakfast, that's not brunch, is it?
What time is it?
9:30.
Oh, it's breakfast.
It's breakfast, yeah.
Exactly. Especially if you're trying not to eat too many meals and you have a late-ish breakfast.
Maybe they're going to have two meals. Maybe we're going to have breakfast and lunch.
Yeah, that would suit
me. That would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But it's virtual anyway, so you can do what you want, really.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And wear a Christmas jumper.
Yeah, yeah. Well, not on the 28th of January, no.
Oh, no. A onesie.
That wouldn't work, yeah.
I'd get depressed if I was in a onesie,
You'd be better off with an Easter egg there, wouldn't
you? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, join us for virtual networking hosted by FSB Folkestone area host Wendy Flanagan of the Holistic Home. Promote your business and meet fellow entrepreneurs in breakout rooms. So, all of those events you can find in the same place with the booking links for each event and the details of each of those events, the timing, the dates and everything, by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. See what I did there?
I do. It's very neat, isn't it?
kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB for all of that. Also, the FSB are one of the main supporters of the Kent and Medway Business Summit, which will return for its fourth year on the 15th of January, with a clear focus on business resilience, renewal and a strategy for a return to growth. Hosted annually at the University of Kent by Kent Business School and its partners, the Federation of Small Business, the Institute of Directors and located in Kent, and the Kent and Medway Business Summit brings together some 400 businesses and policymakers to debate key themes. Expert keynote speakers will cover topics on the economy and latest development in Brexit. Workshops will deliver insights into areas including productivity, infrastructure, placemaking and skills, and offer the opportunity for businesses to have their say on developing strategy. In 2021, the summit will be hosted virtually using the exciting platform Remo, which offers unparalleled opportunities for networking and collaboration. If you'd like to find it, they've got some fantastic speakers. They're just announcing the speaker lineup now. They've already announced a couple. They've got some fantastic speakers.
Yeah.
Go check it out.
Yeah.
Diary date. If you want to find out more or register for your spot on the show, the best way on the summit, the best way to do that is kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Kent Summit. kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Kent Summit
always sounds to me like they're going up to the moon or something. It sounds very, very adventurous, doesn't
Ain't
it?
Ain't no mountain high enough. Cheesy tunage.
Cheesy, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Summit.
Yeah. Applications are open.
You've mentioned cheese an awful lot on this show.
I'm reading a book on the history of cheese at the British Isles. I told you that.
What page are you on?
I'm halfway through. I'm on chapter 6. Stinky Bishop I'm up to. I told you.
Wait till the end.
I'm doing Cornish Yarg.
Oh, that is beautiful. Did you get it as a birthday present, perchance?
What?
This book?
No, I bought it for myself last week.
Oh, you had to buy it yourself. That is so sad.
Well, I saw it and I thought, I'm having that.
No. Yeah. Did it have, like, cheese samples in it? That would be good. Like an advent calendar.
It's a Kindle book.
Oh, no, not the same as having a proper... Can you imagine if you had, like, an advent cheese calendar?
Yeah.
Every day you'd open one.
I know, I joke about that as well, but
have you finished your FSB?
No, I've got one more thing, but you interrupted.
Yeah, well, it's the cheese bit. Sorry.
Applications are open for the Kent and Medway...
Poor Oliver's wondering what on earth he's coming to. It's like he's gripping the side of the bench now.
He's waiting to see when we start.
Yeah.
Applications are open for the Kent and Medway small businesses to kickstart young people's employment. The FSB confirms it's teamed up with Adecco Working Ventures to help small firms across government's kickstart scheme. Access government's kickstart scheme. Beg your pardon.
Adecco.
Working Ventures. Yeah, yeah. FSB urges small employers to apply now to create kickstart roles from November onwards and tackle looming rise in young people's unemployment. To tackle increasing numbers of young people aged 16 to 24 struggling to find work and on a universal credit, the FSB has announced a new partnership with Adecco Working Ventures. Together they will form a new national gateway and intermediary partner for the UK government's new kickstart scheme, which covers England, Scotland and Wales. The FSB will also be delivering a regional program of webinars and other resources to encourage, inspire and help small businesses to get involved and make the most of the new scheme. Alongside local authorities, business organisations and the voluntary sector, the FSB is also calling for a diversity of intermediary providers at local level. This way, any small business wishing to create one or two roles will have a choice of good quality providers to deliver the important wraparound support service that these young people are going to need. Small firms are ready to step up and contribute jobs for people whose livelihoods are now threatened by COVID-19. The UK unemployment rate has risen to its highest level for 2 years, with official figures showing those aged 16 to 24 suffering the biggest drop in employment compared to other age groups. Small employers in England, Scotland, Wales who are keen to offer a kickstart role for a young person can now find out all about it and register for it by going to fsb.org.uk/kickstart. That's fsb.org.uk/kickstart. Do check that out. And that's the end of the FSB news.
Oh, well, I enjoyed it.
I'm glad you did.
And especially the cheese references. And also what's happening next year.
Well, that was you that injected the cheese into it, not me.
Can you help us make Christmas special for local families who may have little or nothing under their tree this Christmas morning? The Romney Resource Centre is teaming up with local organisations and individuals in the Hythe and Romney Marsh areas to help local children this Christmas. Coronavirus has thrown up all sorts of challenges for so many this year, and we're determined, they say, to make a difference, and you can get involved. You can donate a toy. You can bring a new and unwrapped donation of toy to one of their donation points. You can send a gift directly. If you're unable to donate a physical one, you could buy a gift online and send it to the Romney Resource Centre, Unit 4 Mountfield Road, and that's T for Tiger, N for Norman, 28, 8, L for Lima, and H for Harry.
Jules has her own phonetic alphabet, which includes such things as
W for Wallaby,
T for Pterodactyl.
And one of our listeners once, many moons ago, sent me in the proper one.
Yeah, but you didn't use it, did
I never
you?
Read it, no. It was nice of them, yeah. You can also donate money to this Romney Resource Centre donation to justgiving.com, Hythe, S for Sugar, A for Alfie, Christmas Appeal, and write Toy Appeal in the comments. Help us to enjoy Christmas for others as well.
Athel Bray have been on.
Hello.
It's day 8 of their reverse advent calendar.
This
is a really clever idea. What they do each day is they add a foodstuff or something to a basket. And at the end of the advent period, they will have a basket full of goodies that they're going to donate to a local food bank or whatever.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah. And today, it was deodorant they added.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. I often give natural deodorants as presents, and then my kids get a bit upset and say, do they smell? But I like one without aluminium.
Well, say what? I wanted a PS5 and all I got was a
deodorant.
Was a roll-on Nivea. Yeah.
I must be the worst mum. I don't even know what a PS5 is.
Do you not?
What is that?
It's something you put under your arm.
Okay. Stops you smelling.
Yeah.
Whatever your business strengths, you need to shout out about them, and you can enter the Maidstone Awards and the Ashford Business Awards 2020. There is a hashtag MStone Awards 2020 and hashtag Ashford Awards 2020. It's a free entry, and you can go to businessawardskent.co.uk. I like Oliver. He's a very diligent guest. He's making notes, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. And it says, don't ever come back to this mayhem ever again. Note to self, don't accept invitations to radio shows you don't know anything about.
Go on the Scoff and Quaff show, because there's always food.
Yeah. At least there's something.
And also bring a jumper, because the studio's
Charity
freezing.
Buddy says, superb show today. Absolutely loved it. Got to go now to do the school run, but have a great week, everybody. Thank you for that.
Did you see my answer?
No.
Take care, parallel parking.
Oh, dear.
There's a Music Man project, Kent Medway, on the 13th of December, so that's this Sunday at 3 p.m. It's an online Christmas concert. You can go to justgiving.com, fundraising MMP Kent Christmas Concert 2020, because the concert will be broadcast on YouTube and Facebook, and they say it's free to watch, but they'd love you to make a small contribution or donation, if you feel you could, towards the project, and they'd be very grateful.
Fabuloso. I'm just trying to make sure that we've covered as many of the tweets as we can.
It was a busy Twitter.
It's a busy, tweety Twitter.
Yeah. Tracy's been saying quite a bit. I think you may have read it, but
yeah, go
fantastic it. Initiative, she said, and that was about the food banky people.
Yeah.
Who were they? Remind me.
The Community Cupboard.
Thank you. And she also...
Oh, they're still going on about Brexit on this. I'm like, go away.
Who's that on your timeline?
Yeah, just a load of people. There's some giraffe.
Yeah, well, it's happening,
looking
isn't
at
it?
Their photograph. Some giraffe's got a big worry about Brexit. Mm. Apparently, they're not going to get their grass to eat or something.
Giraffes?
Yeah, giraffe. I don't know.
I love the way you've gone northern, so giraffe.
Giraffe.
I mean, when have you ever been northern?
Yeah, well, it was giraffe, wasn't it?
And then you read about, she said, ha ha, Paula, she was thinking about Where's Nick Knowles. So you read that, I think.
Yeah, I did. Did you mention Michael Parks Surveyors, MPSL?
Earlier, yes.
Yeah, the great surveyors there over on the Medway City Estate in Rochester.
Yeah.
If I haven't read your tweet, sorry, it's because I couldn't find it. We have got rather a lot today. Protect yourself from scams. Stay vigilant about scams, which may mimic government messages as a way of appearing authentic. Search scams on gov.uk for information on how to recognise genuine HMRC contact. You can also forward suspicious emails claiming to brief from HMRC to phishing at hmrc.gov.uk. That's phishing spelt with a PH. Phishing at hmrc.gov.uk. Or you can text them to 60599. That's text 60599. Access the National Cybersecurity Centre's new guide on how to stay secure online and protect yourself or your business against cybercrime by searching Cyber Aware on gov.uk.
And I got followed by new Twitter people, and it is Expert. It's at XPERTDUK, and they're a community of professionals and SMEs that have been impacted by COVID-19, and they're here to rebuild the economy and lower unemployment, shaping the future. And hello to you, new followers. I don't know if they're following you yet, but I'm sure they will.
Fantastic. Just a heads up here, although this could change because they've changed it twice already, but from the 1st of March 2021, the way that VAT is collected in the construction industry is changing. Find out how your construction business will be affected and what you need to do about it now by joining a live webinar. You can ask questions using the on-screen text box. How to apply the VAT reverse charge for construction services. Find out when to apply the VAT reverse charge. How to show the reverse charge on your invoices. How your business may be affected and what to do if you make a mistake when applying the reverse charge. You can choose the time and date that you view the webinar, and the webinars are presented by HMRC, and to find out about them and to book a webinar, go to register.gov.uk go to webinar.com/17789. register.gotowebinar.com/17789. You haven't got a hope, iceberg in hell's chance of making this work. This is the most, of all the bonkers schemes that the bonkers government comes up with, this has got to be the most bonkers.
Why do they keep changing everything? It's so hard for builders construction.
The problem is, as always, they don't live in the real world, yeah? The government are trying to stop people doing cash-in-hand jobs, yeah? And trying to stop
the black economy.
Yeah, they're trying to stop the black and the grey economy.
You try telling my window cleaner that.
Yeah, exactly. But and also, for people to charge VAT. But one of the reasons that builders don't do it is they don't understand. So making it 20 times as complex really is just going to force them into going, do you know what, we're not going to do it at all. Yeah, it's just it's a complete failure to understand the psychology of people in business, yeah, that if you make something too complicated, they won't do it at all. So you're actually going to create the thing that you're trying to solve.
Well, it's a bit like the tier system at the moment, isn't it? Nobody knows how many
people... it's like everything they come up with.
But we're in tier three. How many people can I meet with outside? I've forgotten, on the slope. I can't have anyone in my garden.
47 or two, depending.
I can go to a wedding or a funeral... Or I can have a facial, but I can't sit in a restaurant. It's all very confusing.
Yeah, it's nonsense. And it's like everything they do with this, they're trying to do one thing, but they just, because they don't have to do it themselves, or if they do, it's like we were talking about earlier, Ollie, with corporates and their stupid failures with do not reply emails and stuff. Because they don't do it as a user of that service, they never see the drawback to it, you know. And it's okay, a bunch of civil servants going there, well, it's easy to work out reverse VAT, all you need is a database that does this. They don't think, hold on a minute, he's a plasterer standing in a puddle of water on a building site trying to work out whether he's got to charge you VAT before he's done the job, or after he's done the job, or while he's doing the job. It just doesn't work. It's nonsense. But there you go.
And I'd like to say that the 90-year-old Margaret Keenan is the first person in the UK to receive the Pfizer BioNTech vaccine.
Have you seen? Have you seen Matt Hancock?
No.
He burst into tears on the telly because he was so emotional about the first vaccine.
Wow.
I thought he was having the first vaccine.
Yeah, well, he's too young.
He's not going to go first.
No.
He knows what's in it.
You go first.
I did tweet him and said, please look up narcolepsy in the swine flu, which was 2015. The amount of people that sued the government for having narcolepsy after the swine flu.
Is that right?
Google it, yeah.
Wow.
I think it was a lady committed suicide because she was just asleep all the time, couldn't drive, couldn't shower on her own, just completely fall asleep. And a 10-year-old boy, a load, yeah.
You're starting a conspiracy theory, aren't you?
Yeah, narcolepsy, Google it. But anyway, congratulations to her. She's 19. That is lovely. Yeah. Can I have mine so I can go out?
Yeah. We've got exactly 1 minute left of the show. Have you got anything else that you need to do?
I've read all mine.
Yeah,
no.
Well, luckily I've read all mine. This show is perfectly produced, isn't it? It smacks in right on time. What about that, eh? That's pretty special, isn't it?
It's amazing, but I am freezing, so next time I'm bringing you a jumper.
Okay.
Are you cold?
Not really. Anyway, I want to say we're at the end of the show.
I've got my vest on and I'm freezing.
I can't chat to you. I've got a show to finish.
Well, off air, I'm freezing.
I've got to wrap up. I want to say a massive thank you to all of the guests on this week's show. Mr. Oliver Tuffney.
And his brother.
Well, yeah, but Kevin wasn't here.
No.
Kevin was out doing driving lessons.
Doing all the work.
Yeah. Mm. So Oliver Tuffney of Rated Driving Instructors, Bronwyn Rich of This Way Up Wellbeing, and Dave and Tracy from the Community Cupboard. Thank you, all of you, for being guests on the show. Thank you for everybody that tweeted and emailed in. We'll be back with another show next week. Have a fantastic week, everybody. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.